Hi, folks. Before we get started, we'd like to take a moment to let you know some of the content on this podcast may not be suitable for some audiences. It's all in good fun, but we just wanted to let you know.
Previously on the Jay and Dan podcast.
Pat, hopefully he'll be back next week. Hey, we've got a couple of big announcements.
Is Pat alive?
He's got, like, the greatest life.
Yeah.
He goes to the beach.
Yeah.
He's at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
He's at Coachella. He's at all these events.
Thank you.
I don't know. Does Fox fly him out to Coachella?
Yes. Yeah, so private jet.
Just tweet pictures
Rupert
of,
Murdoch's
like,
jet.
Look at this f***ing Ferris wheel. I'm on acid and it's f***ing amazing. Wow. Can you see the sunset through the Ferris wheel? Holy s***, LCD sound system is f***ing me up right now.
Yeah.
Hi, guys. Good to see ya.
What does Chewbacca's penis look like?
Is it fur? Or does he even have one?
Wookiees have to mate, don't they? A little baby Wookiee doesn't just show up. You gotta bang a female Wookiee.
So
is it furry? Do you slick down the fur?
Probably like a horse. It just comes out.
Bare, no fur on it.
No.
Just massive, right? Just like a huge like a horse.
Yeah, we don't want to just be in your ears. We want to be in your eyes.
What?
Fire off a couple right now.
Don't be a crackhead.
Would you look at that?
Excuse me?
What?
I like turtles.
Don't be a crackhead.
Would you look at that?
Ain't nobody got time for that.
Excuse me?
I like turtles.
Well, if you like turtles on crack.
Hey, Moist Mouth, you taping another podcast?
You're listening to the Jay and Dan podcast.
Hey! Dan!
It's the Jay and Dan podcast brought to you by MeUndies and Books. MeUndies, whether you're wearing a suit or sweats, you'll spend almost 24 hours a day in your underwear, but instead of making a statement like Superman's tights under his everyday clothes, your underwear is probably boring. MeUndies, here to change that. They're awesome. Just go to MeUndies.com/Jay and Dan for 20% off your first order. MeUndies.com/Jay and Dan, 20%. I literally owned MeUndies before they became a sponsor.
MeUndies. Yeah.
Before they became a sponsor.
This is not like where you have to pretend to like something to endorse it. You genuinely use this product.
Love
and it's great. And by the way, shipping is free in the US and Canada. You can save up to $8 a pair with the MeUndies subscription plan. So dial up some MeUndies and get me.
Welcome to
excited.
The podcast. You tuned in on a great day. Oh,
what happened?
Up there yet because she
right. Nikki Benz, Canadian adult film superstar, is on the podcast today, Dan. I'm excited.
She'll be joining the Canadian Wall of Fame. And Darren Pang, our good friend, is going to join us on the phone because of his St. Louis Blues making it to the second round.
Yeah, big 7-game series with the Cup champs, the Blackhawks. They're out. And, I'm looking forward to chatting with Panger about that. And Panger's been working up at Sportsnet, so we'll ask him how that's been going for him.
But everyone's been waiting because we know last weekend you went to Coachella. You were really looking forward to it. We were all supposed to go. None of us went. You went by yourself.
Solo. I did go solo. My wife wouldn't even come with me.
It was better, though. I didn't know that.
It was better. Going solo. It was awesome because you could go everywhere super quick. You didn't have to consent with the group as to what shows you're seeing. Now, did you go, Jim?
I went with Nikki Benz.
Very nice. Oh, the flower crowns on Nikki Benz right around her vagina.
So, how was it?
It was incredible.
I did not go.
You didn't go, but
you
you did have a pretty wild weekend, no?
Every weekend is a pretty wild weekend in my world, my friend.
It was
every weekend.
I got to just very quickly say, because it was awesome. It exceeded my expectations. That festival, it was so much fun. The setting is so cool. Mountains, palm trees, highly recommended. But I got to say, Jim, and this, I've been so excited to talk to you about this. Guns N' Roses f-ing slayed out there. They were awesome. They were. I don't know if they tightened up in between weekend one and weekend two, because I know weekend one, a lot of people were like, I don't know. But I went in with low expectations, but a couple things stood out to me. Number one, Slash still
he's
fucking destroy on guitar. So good. Duff looks like $1 million. He looks 30 years old.
Yep.
And then Axl, because as everyone knows, he broke the foot at the Troubadour, so he's sitting in Dave Grohl's like chair thingy. It's the best thing for him. Breaking that foot is the best thing that happened to him because he doesn't have to run around stage, expend energy. And he said that at the concert. He was like, this is actually great. I can get right into the notes. And he was hitting all the notes and he sounded awesome.
How much chatter did Axl have?
That's the other thing. He was pretty chatty with the crowd for
Axl.
Which
is great.
Yeah. And he introduced the whole band and waited for the end to introduce Slash and felt like he meant it. So it was pretty cool. If you're thinking of going to see them, I would definitely.
They're playing Dodger Stadium
it.
In August.
And I'm going.
You're going to the Dodger Stadium.
I will
show.
Be there.
If
yes.
we go, can we go backstage with you?
Sure. Why not? Let's set it up.
Can you imagine?
Let's do a podcast from there.
Oh, yeah. That would be so much fun.
I'm definitely going to be there. So last week, while you were sort of away, I guess, while we were off, I went over to my locker where I have my gear, where the guns gear is and all that other stuff. And I was moving some stuff around and actually talked with Gilby, and I've got like my bass rigs and stuff stored in his locker now. I was kind of consolidating. It was pretty funny. Right across from Smokey Robinson's locker. And John Mayer and Billy Bob's got a place over there.
So is it? It's like a big storage festival.
And I come around the corner, and the guy who owns the place is a very good friend, great guy, known him forever, family with the Guns guys. He's like, oh yeah, you got to see we got a new rehearsal studio here in this facility, and it's huge. It's out at the Van Nuys Airport. It's a big, huge building. Come around the corner. There's the Chili Peppers rehearsing for their tour.
No way.
Crazy.
Flea, what's up? Oh, it was awesome.
They're playing the New Orleans Jazz Fest.
Right.
Harpy's going, a guy we work with. He's headed
so did you hear them
first?
Oh, yeah.
They
sounded good?
Rocking.
Wow.
Yeah, they sounded amazing.
That's so cool, man.
Yeah, it was great. I didn't think I'd have that much fun moving all my gear around. You know what I mean?
That's amazing.
Like, humping Marshall amps and big bass rigs and all my recording gear for the big rock bands.
Oh, man.
So it was nice to reconnect with everybody and
definitely
we'll be doing a lot more of that.
I guess so.
I want to know the hipster percentage at Coachella.
So I'm going to just say this right now, and hopefully my wife won't get too upset at me, but the amount of beautiful women in scantily clad attire.
That's in a spice and meatball.
It was off the charts insane.
Yeah.
Like, there's just stunning women everywhere, and it's a good vibe. Yeah, there's some hipster vibe there, but it's not too annoying. I mean, there's 100,000 people, so if you don't like...
Because it's too hot for the hipsters.
No, I think the hipsters are fine in their cut-off jean shorts and their fedoras. Put on a little sunscreen. But there's the key is, and people told us this, if you can afford to buy VIP tickets, I don't know what that drop was. If you can afford to buy VIP tickets, highly recommend, because you can escape to that area, cool off, have a drink. It's very chill there. But overall, like, even if you didn't, you just buy the regular tickets. It's a good vibe.
You
it's
just
not,
take
like,
a lot of X and go in the Sahara tent.
Well, I was
and
telling,
you'll be fine.
Well, I was telling Dan, walking in, the amount of guys who had drugs confiscated right in front of me that were just sitting at the top of their backpacks. Like, at least do something to conceal it.
Oh, really? Somebody told me they were searching cars coming in.
Oh, I don't know about that. But
as I
was walking
where
in.
Maybe you were camping or whatever.
Yeah, I could see camping. That. But when you're walking in the main line, like, you know, they'd open my backpack and they kind of would dig around in it. But some of the guys in front of me just had like drugs right on top of the backpack. Like maybe put that in your shoe or
be a crackhead.
Or keister right. it.
Or
maybe.
The bottom of the bag?
Yeah, or the bottom of the bag. Maybe move that to the bottom.
Say, for example, if you had marijuana.
Yeah, right.
And you had a medical marijuana card.
Right.
Would they take it away from you?
I think it's a good question.
Very good question.
I don't know. I'm not sure.
That I know anything about that
Me neither.
Stuff.
Me
I'm
neither.
Just asking.
Yeah, me neither. I don't know. I can't say.
How was Anne Murray's performance at Coachella?
Anne Murray was nice. Anne Murray was real strong. I actually saw a Canadian band, Always. So I can't remember if it's Always or Always. It's like the two Vs, but they make a W. Anyway, awesome. The daughter of one of the Rankins is the lead singer.
Wow, the Rankins, they yeah. used to be huge.
Yeah, and they're terrific. If you've never seen this band or heard of this band, it's A-L-V-V-A-Y-S. Awesome. Great group.
How was LCD Sound System?
Incredible.
I heard they were really good.
They're the kind of band, like, if you like their records, you'll like them more live because they recreate a lot of the electronic sound with live instruments. And they do an incredible job of it.
Was there at least one band where you're like, these guys are garbage?
No, not really. Everyone was great. Like, Ice Cube went up. He was pretty good. He was working hard.
Our buddy, so you wave it and say, Ice!
Ice, can you see me? I'm 100,000 rows back.
Did he have any guests with him?
Yeah, like Dr. Dre did show up.
Oh, he did?
Dr. Dre
yeah.
did.
Yeah,
wow,
Dr.
No
Dre
way.
Showed up on stage. So it was DJ Yella from NWA, MC Ren from NWA, and then Dre came out. So all the original members of NWA who are still alive were there on stage.
Did they play their hits?
Well, not. That was the weird thing. They played Dre. Just goes to show you like how much power Dre has in that whole situation, because Dre came out and just did two Dre songs, even though he had all of NWA there. He didn't do like an old NWA song. Maybe it's like, you know.
No Snoop Dogg. Speaking he was there the week before, right?
No Snoop. That's right.
Speaking of playing the hits, I watched an interview with Prince, and the interviewer questioned him, said, well, you don't always play the hits. He goes, because that's a different stage of my life. I'm past that stage, so I've moved on to something else, so I want people to experience this new stage. So that's why he explained why he didn't play the hits, and he didn't know how other artists did it. He says he must go insane.
Yeah. So I mean, if you're an iconic artist like Prince, you can kind of convince people to come in to your shows with new material, but I think generally, like,
that's
a great
tough
example.
For any other band, yeah.
Well, even Guns, like Guns, the first six songs were all like, first of all, he killed it on Estranged, man. Like, killed it. It sounded great. I'm just like, I can't believe how good they sound. Estranged, It's So Easy, Sweet Child of Mine, Welcome to the Jungle. In the first six songs, like Live and Let Die, they didn't fuck around. Like, they were. I think most bands, they can't do what Prince is doing. But Prince has done, like, hasn't Prince done, like, farewell tours where he's played all the hits in the tour and then sort of said,
He's mixed it up.
Can we do a quick 6 degrees of Engineer Jim since the passing of Prince? So we have to say, do you have any connection? Our award-winning Engineer Jim, who's worked on countless records, countless musicians, we find a connection. And today we're trying to find out if you have a connection to Prince.
No music. Got to hit it.
I asked. I didn't get it. I asked twice.
We'll address that in a second.
So. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
What, I have this, though.
Okay, that works.
All right.
That's cool.
So I've met him several times. Almost had the opportunity to work with him playing at a private party at his house.
Paisley Park?
I've worked at Paisley Park. I've been there a couple of times, and the place is amazing.
I just saw the outside of it. It's very like, it looks like a big pharmaceutical company.
It looks
building.
Like an industrial park.
Yeah.
And it's actually right down the road from the Mall of America.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's not far from that.
And they're turning it into the new Graceland, right?
Yeah.
Are they really?
Yeah, just yesterday, his brother-in-law said that that's what he wanted them to do if he were to ever pass away. And so that's what they're going to do. Yeah.
Well, so I knew there was a residence there, you know, but I didn't think he actually, like, lived there. I thought he had a house some other place, you know, in Minneapolis or whatever. But, like I said, I knew there was a residence there. I knew there was places to crash.
Where did it rank, like, the studio?
Yeah. Oh, it was awesome. It was right up there with some of the best places I've been, for sure. And it's massive. Like, you could see how big the compound is. So when I was there they have a big sound stage, you know, like they have sound stages here, you know, for filming movies. They were shooting a Mercedes-Benz commercial, you know.
Crazy.
And then they had a big sort of another sound stage, like rehearsal space. And in there, he had stuff from... You know, I was there in the mid-90s. He had stuff there for the last you know, half a dozen tours. And it would be like, oh, man, no way. That's from, you know, Purple Rain. And that, you could see all the props he had in there. And he would keep, like, you know, all his staff and the guys in whatever bands he was playing with. Everybody had a pager. And, you know, at back then, you know, not with cell phones. But, you know, you were on call 24/7.
So if he wanted to record something, you'd get your ass there.
Yeah. And, you know, it's crazy. He used to record a lot at the record plant, which is where I first met him. And he would keep the studio at the record plant locked out for weeks, months. And sometimes he wouldn't even be in L.A. And he'd still have the studio there, and the engineer would be sitting next to the front office going, yeah. You know.
So he had rented the entire studio?
Yeah. Well, one studio in the facility. And, you know, everybody was on call, ready to go at a moment's notice. And he was the kind of guy who would show up on you just when you thought, oh, f*** it, man. You know, he's in Minneapolis. I'm going to go home for the night. You know, he'd walk in at midnight with like 20 people ready to go.
Amazing.
And whenever he recorded, he would have an engineer there. The guy, like when he did vocals, and the guy would have the room set up for him to record, and he'd hang the mic over the center of the console, and he'd run the tape machine, he'd run the board, he would do everything. And he'd kick everybody out of the room, and he might be in there for 12 hours, and everybody's just sitting on the other side of the door, like, waiting for him, hey, what do you need? You know, it's crazy.
Because he would have been, I mean, you think of all the time he spent in the studio in Paisley Park, it just around with the board
and keyboards and programming
and
stuff.
He can play every instrument.
Phenomenal. And a very good friend of mine, Ray Lindsay, who's now Lindsay Buckingham's guitar tech, he was Prince's tech for years, and I met Ray when he was Stephen Stills' guitar tech.
How good of a guitar player do you have to be those three guys' guitar tech?
The guy's extremely talented. Wow. He's really good. Yeah.
That's really pretty cool.
It's a great connection.
Jay, Jason, our guest, just told me a connection to Prince.
Oh, yeah? Jay?
Let me put you on there.
So my dad's good friend, it was Prince's first manager. He founded him in Minnesota. His name's Owen Husney. He's been doing the rounds with, you know, on all CNN, MSNBC, all the things. He lives around the corner from my parents the day that Prince died. There was like news vans in front of his house. He did Anderson Cooper, all the shows.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Wow. Crazy. So, let's go crazy.
Let's go crazy, man. Let's do it. By the way, we should just say, who do we have with us today? Because we don't have Patrick.
No Pat. No Rich.
No Rich.
We have my friend Jason Kleinman, who's hanging out with us, making sure the camera's running good so we can do everything else here.
And where are
he's the
Patrick,
man, by the way.
And Jason, what's your normal, what do you normally do here at Fox?
I am on the Fox Sports digital team running all the video production that comes out of the lot-based group here. So
nice work.
That sounds like a good gig.
So I think Pat's in Alabama and going
we
to Chicago.
Care. We don't care.
And but Rich is sick, so we should
Rich is sitting in his me undies, just filling him with poop.
I was just curious. What is Pat? What's he doing this time?
Yeah, what is Pat doing?
I think. Well, I don't know what he's.
Oh, he's
doing.
At the draft.
Yeah,
right?
Doing the draft. I think they're like live streaming the radio.
Right. Well, Schrager, our boy,
and Clad
are doing a Fox Radio draft special. I believe.
And Jay Glazer. Nice.
And Jay Glazer.
There you go.
Right.
Nice.
It's very good because every year they do it and they get every pick before it happens.
Glazer was 32 of 32 last year.
It's incredible.
In the first
round. Pretty good. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Hey, guys, guess what? Mother's Day's May 8th. I know, sneaks up on you every single year, but look, you still got enough time to order Mom the best flowers of her life from Books.com. Books flowers are, in a word, gorgeous.
Books flowers are grown at eco-friendly farms on the side of a volcano. Seriously, a volcano. Blooms are larger, colors more vibrant. It's a better soil and more sun at a lofty 10,000 feet thing. Order from Books.com today, because if you wait till the last second, you get second-rate flowers. Your mom knows second-rate flowers. They're the crappy ones that come from a massive online outlet, or the limp ones snuggle nuts into green onions at the grocery store. Gorgeous flowers from the Books really do say, thanks, Mom, for all you do.
So, what's all this gorgeousness cost you? Not much. Book's prices start at a mere $40. No upcharges, no extra fees. Even delivery is absolutely free when you register with the Book's. Listeners of our show save 20% off the bouquet of your choice. Just go to Book's.com, enter promo code J. That's Book's, B-O-U-Q-S.com, B-O-U-Q-S.com, promo code J, Book's.com, promo code J. Thank you, Book's, for being one of our sponsors, along with MeUndies. Don't forget to go to MeUndies at MeUndies.com/J and Dan. 20% off your first order, MeUndies.com/J and Dan. They are comfy. I'm wearing some right now.
Did someone brought up on, are you wearing some?
I'm wearing some as well. Yeah, I love, it's like a vacation for my balls.
I love that.
It really is.
Everyone's balls need a vacation.
That's
eventually.
A good slogan, yeah, for them. Vacation for my balls.
MeUndies.
By the vacation way, you talked about balls? Coachella. I went to UFC 197 in Vegas last weekend. It was garbage.
Yeah, you said it was.
Oh, it was a hot steaming pile of shit. John Jones fight was a snooze fest. We had our interview with John Jones and Ovince St. Preux last week. It was painful.
Yeah. It was on the podcast too.
Yeah.
It was. We apologize, everybody. It was
John. I'd never seen it before. John Jones during the fight kept reaching out and touching him on the shoulder. I'm like, punch him.
This week's two interviews will make up for last week's podcast interview. Nikki Benz and Panger.
Oh, yeah. We should give Panger a shout.
Well, five minutes?
Yeah, sure. You can
five minutes. Well, why don't we do touch our bags a little bit? Very quickly, you brought up the sponsorship thing, and someone on Twitter brought up, is it a coincidence that since Mike left, we didn't have any sponsors before that? Now we have two sponsors per podcast.
Well, we think...
We have sponsors the whole month of May, too.
Our theory is he just didn't tell us, and he was just pocketing the money.
Yeah, because he always talked about the podcast budget that we never saw.
And so, have you seen this? There's no budget, right?
No budget.
Yeah, he was lying. And here's another one from Ryan.
Oh, and everyone's going to be happy, though. And this is a true story. When I was in Vegas, I sent you a picture of the pool I overlooked.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I did not venture down because it looked like a cesspool of disease.
And it was. And it still is.
We were.
I was at Caesars. Great room and all that, but I just don't venture. Okay, continue with the touch our bags.
Let's touch our bags. At McBain 403, Jay Ray was not on Tatooine. She was on Jakku, another desert-type planet. Remember I said to you she was on Tatooine, so that I f***ed up my Star Wars knowledge. Here's a good one here. Hey, Bods, love the show. This is from Grayson Little. Grayson Ray Little. I have a Canadian Sophie's Choice for you. You can bring back either the Montreal Expos or the Quebec Nordique. With a guarantee that they never relocate for at least 50 years, but the other team is not brought back for at least 50 years. What do you choose?
I go with the Expos because there's only one other baseball team in Canada.
Yeah, and I would probably go with the Nordiques because there's a stadium ready to go for them now. There's nothing.
Yeah, but then
you
don't get the Expos for 50 years.
Yeah, it's a. I mean, how do you choose? It's Sophie's choice. Here's another one, Owen Cunningham. My question is about all the jammy endings to Gene R tunes, songs like November Rain, Patience, Rocket Queen, and others I can't think of right now. Finish with what sounds like impromptu jams. So my question for Jim is: were the songs written that way, or did the jams arise through the recording process?
Excellent question. That's one of the best questions I've gotten.
All right.
Wow.
And the answer is they did happen through the recording process. A lot of times you kind of vamp the song to make sure, you know, okay, we go long enough, you know. And Axel, like at the end of Don't Cry, for example, and he'd hold out that note super, super long.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was trying to, like, break whatever record there was for the longest note held in a pop song, which I believe that's still the longest note.
Huh.
And literally, you know, we would punch in on cry.
Yeah,
just
right.
Just kind of hold it. Then we kept trying. But, you know, we thought we'd be way done. And, you know, you're letting the song ring out and all that stuff. And you hear Slash, like, going, like that little noodling. We thought the song's been over for, you know, 30 seconds, and we still leave the tape rolling. You never know what you're going to get. and Slash is just noodling around. Well, when Slash put the vocal on and that was still going, Axl was like, that's f-ing awesome. Let's leave that, you know? So a lot of that stuff happened that way. Same thing with Patience. The same, a lot of songs.
Speaking of the way songs end, in the 90s when they used to just fade songs out, that must drive an artist or an engineer nuts when you can't finish the song, you have to fade it out.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I believe it was on the Stone Steel Wheels album, and I had worked on with Don Was the single version of A Rock and a Hard Place with them on that. But when they did the album, and engineer named Michael Brower mixed it, who's a really brilliant engineer out of New York. I think they mixed it either in New York or London. I was told that on the songs that needed fades, Mick walked out in the street and found like some homeless guys who were hanging out in front of the studio, and he had them come in and do the fade on the songs. Here, you just need to fade this song out. Here, grab this fader and pull it down. That's
such
what I heard.
Such a weird piece of trivia.
Yeah.
that's bizarre.
What I heard. I heard that. I don't know if it's true or not. But.
And then Mick forced those hobos to give him a blowjob.
Well, I don't know about that. But
I just assumed.
You know, that's what I heard.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
We haven't even got to our guest.
Oh,
Nikki.
Yeah, we're about to. Yeah, we're about to get to our guest right now. She's just outside the door.
You're listening to the Jay and Dan podcast.
And here she is, Nikki Benz.
Yes.
Yeah.
Just dropped Thank down you. From the ceiling.
Like an angel from Canada.
From Canada.
Down here yes.
so
into LA.
So Canadian, you're from Toronto.
Correct.
Okay.
Whereabouts in Toronto?
So I grew up mostly in Etobicoke.
Nice.
Which,
okay.
I mean, that's still Toronto.
That's Toronto,
right?
For sure.
It's 416.
That is it, or
yeah.
is that 905?
No, it's 416.
I like that, Nikki. That
was
still...
my area code. So.
Now, when
like
you it. Grew up in Toronto, no one referred to it as the 6, as
no.
Drake refers
no.
to it.
Yeah. That's something Drake started.
I find it a bit annoying. Nikki, your thoughts?
Why? I kind of like
a
it.
A bit annoying.
Well, it's just like...
Because we used to call it the T-dot or
yeah,
whatever,
yeah.
and now it's just the 6.
Now it's the 6. But
Sounds
what about
cooler.
The 905ers? They don't feel a part
Too
of
bad.
It.
They need to move to the 6.
Too what bad, 905ers.
What about Peterborough, area code 705? We the 5ers, the 5ers too?
Or the 7. I think you're the 7.
We're the 7. Okay.
I'm going to try that.
Yeah, you yeah. need to try this yeah. yerba mate,
May I
Nikki.
Use this mug? Is this your mug?
It's definitely been washed.
Is it
washed.
Clean? Okay.
And thank you for bringing your photo to
yes.
put on the Canadian Wall
so
of Fame.
So you are now on the Canadian Wall
Here,
of Fame?
Yes.
Yeah. Here you go.
Oh, there we go. Thank you.
Perfect. And you were nice enough to sign it, and you said this was the only...
the cleanest.
Well, you couldn't find
that it. That was the most covered up thing I can find.
And so. You covered up your nipple with a cute
I
little
did.
Star.
I thought it'd be polite.
It was
that.
Really sweet.
Ballpark it. How many photo shoots do you think you've done?
Oh God, a lot.
Like 8,000
photo shoots
yes.
or
8,
scenes.
8,000 scenes.
Let's
like
clarify
a lot.
That. Oh. Photo shoots probably 8,000. Yeah, I do a lot of photo shoots, non-sex photo shoots. You know, sort of like stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah. And you
right.
were what? What year were you the
non-sex photo
2011
shoots.
Penthouse Pet of the Year.
Yes, 2011 Penthouse Pet of the Year. And I'm just gonna Snapchat this because I think it's so cool that you guys are putting me on this Canadian
yeah.
Wall of Fame.
Isn't that
right?
Who are your
Neil
favorites?
Young?
Do you have any favorites here, Nikki?
I'm gonna say Pam. I like her.
Yeah.
And you're right above Wayne Gretzky.
Oh my God, yes. And Ryan.
Yes,
I mean,
yeah.
Ryan, heartthrob, you know?
Classic Gosling
who,
there.
Who doesn't like Ryan?
Yeah, we
oh,
all
look
like
how
him.
Young he, Wayne
Right,
Gretzky
and the
looks.
Sweater?
Wow, cheesy.
No? Not a fan?
Oh, you got Drake on there? I like
yeah.
it. I like it.
Yeah, he's okay. He's okay.
He's okay.
So when did you move to L.A.?
Yeah, when did you first move to L.A.?
I moved to L.A. in 2004, so I've been here for a long time.
Well, are you here for good? Are you ever going back? Will you ever move back?
I don't want to.
Yeah.
I like the weather.
Yeah,
we talked about this earlier.
Yes, yeah. Good.
I'm not a fan of the snow.
Yeah, because once you leave it, I guess you miss friends, family, but I don't miss the weather.
No. Like, and plus, I get to visit, so.
Yeah.
I like the option of going and leaving.
And you came down here in 2004. How did you, did you just come yourself? Did you just say, f*** it, I'm going down there, I'm just going to give it a shot?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I literally moved to LA with, nothing to my name and you know, I've built a sort of a great career in the adult industry, and I've done some mainstream. I've done well.
Yeah.
Yeah, speaking of mainstream, you've been in a Michael Bay movie.
Yeah.
How did that come about?
It was such a great experience.
Yeah, the movie was Pain and Gain.
Pain and Gain. You know, we shot all day. It was at Live in Miami. I don't know if you're familiar with that nightclub.
At the Fountain Blue.
Yeah.
Right.
I love that club. Yeah. So they transformed it into a strip club. So it was a strip club scene, shot all day, like I want to say 16 hours, maybe 18. And I was in the movie for like a whole 6 seconds. So that was cool.
But you were, you could clearly see it was you. It wasn't like you.
They panned on my face, so... If you know my face, then you would know it's me. Yeah, yeah.
Did you? Sure, what was Michael Bay like?
Very serious.
Right.
And I remember he was directing me to sort of, you know, like toss my hair around and be all sexy. And then he said, "Look at me," and I did, because in porn, when a director says, "Look at the camera," you look straight at the camera. And so I did that. I looked at the camera, and he yelled at me. He's like, "You don't look at the camera when I say look at me." And I'm like, "Oh my God, where do I look?
Oh,
I don't know."
God.
But I didn't know this, but you're supposed to look past the camera. So yeah, so that was cool.
Hey, Bay.
Cool it, Bay. Cool your jets,
but
Bay.
He was actually super nice, like great guy, but very stern. He knows exactly what he wants.
Were any of these Mark Wahlberg in that scene with you?
Yeah, they were actually. They saw my boobies for the whole day. So
great.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were must have been pretty upset about that. Yeah.
They were.
Nice guys, though. They were good.
Very nice.
Decent.
Although Mark Wahlberg seemed, every time we cut during breaks, he seemed very upset. I think he had some wife issues.
Wow. Maybe it was the fact that you were there with your boobs in his face.
Maybe. I mean, sorry about that, Mark Wahlberg. Wahlberg's wife.
You're just playing a role. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
It's not like
so.
Were there any adult film directors that were as serious and take everything as serious as Michael Bay did?
No. Okay, so mainstream is a lot of fun, but I do find that besides you guys are fun and cool. Like, I mean, I worked for Fox Sports for 3 years.
We have to talk about that. But yeah.
And it was always just fun environment. But when you do big projects like that, everyone's just so serious.
Right.
It's like not as fun as here.
And adult.
Adult movies are definitely fun.
Right.
Yeah.
In general.
Not because I get to go to work and have sex.
Right.
But it's just like a fun vibe. Fun vibes.
That's good.
Yeah.
Because you would hate going there and say, gotta get naked. This creep is directing me.
Gotta bang that dude. I don't like him. But there must be some people you don't like.
I've got standards too, you know. There's definitely a no list. Okay?
Really?
Okay, yes. Good.
Yeah?
Yes.
But do you have to be established in the industry for a while to be able to say, you know what, I'm not doing that guy. I'll do that guy, but I'm not doing that guy.
Well, yes and no. When you're a new talent, you definitely don't want to be too picky because you're not going to get a lot of work because you're trying to establish your name. At my level, I can pretty much pick and choose. So at this point, though, I know exactly who I like working with, and I have a small list of people. I call it the yes list.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you give us a few names on that list?
A few names?
Yeah, sure.
Like Kieran Lee.
I have no idea who
Ben
that is.
Teller. Ben, you pointed over at Ben. I'm like, Ben, are you on the list?
Yeah,
you're on Mickey's list.
I just saw his face. He tried to hold his smile in, but I knew he knew who I was talking about.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Kieran Lee, Johnny Sins, Manuel Ferreira, Lexington Steele.
Okay, I have to ask you a question about, say, Manuel Ferreira or Johnny Sins.
Uh-huh.
These guys are married, right?
They are, actually, yeah.
So is that weird? Like, that's so...
No. Yeah. Because, okay, when you're a civilian and you guys are civilians to me...
Right?
Yes.
It's hard to understand, you know? But you literally go to work and you work. It's a lot of fun, but there's a switch. You switch off. You do your job. Just like, I don't know, a hairdresser would be cutting hair. You come home. You know, you don't continue to keep cutting hair. You just chill. So it's the same thing. You go, you have sex, and that's
it's over.
It's over.
It's like the UFC fighters. We can't wrap our heads around when they aren't mad at each other. They don't hate each other. You're like, well, how can you? And they flick a switch.
That's a good analogy.
And that's how they go to work.
Yeah.
You leave your work at work. Don't
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't I don't date male porn stars. Just not my thing. I have friends in the adult industry, and I also have a lot of friends outside of it. It keeps me sane. Yeah.
Tell us about, you said you work for Fox Sports, and this is kind of how we were able to get you on the show, because you're friends with Bernie Kim, one of our writers on our show. Tell us about what you did for Fox.
I worked in a show called Cubed, almost weekly for 3 years, and it was just fun. It was scripted about football, and because of me, Bernie was nice enough to write a few episodes about hockey. That was very sweet of him. Thank you, Bernie. But it was just a sports show, and it was just fun, and it was comedic. And I believe it also got picked up by Fuse TV, which was really cool because I went to a sports bar one day, and I saw myself on this big screen TV at a sports bar, fully closed. It was so different. And I was like, wow, there I am in clothes.
But the story that Bernie told us was that a Fox executive said for the show Cubed, he wanted an adult film star to be on the show.
Okay.
And so someone was charged with the task of finding. So how did the person find you? Like, how were you recruited?
At the time, I had an agent for adult movies. I don't anymore. And they called me and he said, hey, Fox Sports wants you to come in and read a script or something like that. And I literally had no time, so I actually turned it down. I didn't have time to do it. And they were persistent, and they asked the agent to convince me to come in. So I did. And it was probably one of the best decisions I've ever made.
That's
it was so
cool.
Much fun.
That's great. Yeah, and you had a good time doing it?
I had a good time. Now, you got to ask them, though, how they found the agent. So that, I don't know.
Yeah, well, it's probably pretty shady.
Yeah, we have a lot of creeps. We have a lot of creeps that
work
here.
To be honest,
so.
Nikki, it was probably Ben.
100%, yeah, for sure. He was probably looking for, like, Kieran Lee and Johnny Sins, and then he's like, oh, Book Nikki Mark. Benz.
Now, we always get a rundown from our guests, and this is the most interesting thing on your info sheet that I found. You announced candidacy for Toronto mayor.
Yeah, in 2014.
I remember when you did this. This was during the Rob Ford era,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah. And I was a blonde back then, too. Yeah.
But you were ruled ineligible because your Ontario license was expired. Like, driver's license?
Correct. Well, yes.
You don't have a mayor's license.
But technically, I pulled out because, look, it was a great PR stunt. And then it got to a point where I got serious interviews, and I loved it. And I seriously considered going all the way, and then I thought, what am I doing? I live in California. I have such a busy
Arnold
career.
Didn't live in Sacramento when he was governor. You could have just commuted.
No, it's too far of a flight.
It is.
And
it's a ways.
And then so I pulled out, and then so if you go to Wikipedia, they say that I wasn't accepted, which is not the truth. But yes, my Ontario license is expired, and I tried to renew it, and the reason they wouldn't swap it out.
Wait,
you can't
so all
help
you
both.
Need to do to run for mayor is have a
driver's
license?
It's like actually, getting your medical marijuana card.
You is just that what? Maybe. I don't have one, but hey, speak for yourself.
If you had become the mayor of Toronto, you could have said to Drake, hey, no, we're not calling it the f***ing six, okay, buddy?
Yeah.
We are
we're
not
back
calling
to the
it T-dot. That. Yeah, it's the T-dot or nothing. You could have put your foot down.
I think, you know, we should let Drake know how you feel.
He's on our wall of fame. He's looking at you right now.
Yeah. He's like, can't believe she doesn't like this.
He's dropping his album this
Yes. Did you see the cover? He's on top of the CN Tower.
Yes. And people thought that was actually real. And the CN Tower had to confirm and said, no, he was photoshopped.
You'd have to sign
don't
a lot
try it
of
at
waivers
home. Yeah,
to,
yeah.
to stay. Okay. So tell me, I wanted to ask you about your vagina.
Okay. You're very blunt.
That's the first time that's ever been said on the podcast.
I figure if I can't be blunt with you, Nikki, who can I really be?
Exactly. And we're Canadians. We're blunt. And sarcastic.
And so in all seriousness, you had you have to explain how this worked.
Okay.
Because you have
how does
do you
the
need
vagina
me to
work?
Demonstrate it?
Yes, please.
How did they how did they create a mold? I can understand the penis, you know, it would seem, but the vagina, how did they
okay,
what
well,
did they do?
First of all, what you're thinking, I can tell by your hand movements.
Right.
They don't mold the inside of me. That would be so unhealthy.
Right.
And I'd have to go to the emergency room. They just mold outside of you. It takes about an hour.
Okay.
They take two molds, 30 minutes at a time. But it's really, really uncomfortable because you literally are sitting in a gynecologist chair with your legs spread. And these two guys, I became best friends with them like right away. I just met them that day and they're like, hey, let's see your vagina.
Right.
So they pour this thing on you and you have to sit with it on for 30 minutes, like with your legs spread and holding your legs. And my legs got so tired that I had to have two people come in the room and help me hold my legs.
Okay. That seems like a good job.
I'm telling you, I made a lot of good friends that day.
Well, and then, my erections have returned.
And then after 30 minutes, they take off that mold and they do another one just in case if there's any mistakes or whatnot. And so they just mold outside of your vagina, not the inside. The inside, they actually create... the inside of every fleshlight, it's different. Every they call it a sleeve. So every sleeve is created differently for each star, and I've been told that my sleeve is really good.
Okay.
Yeah. You got a good sleeve.
I had some of my vaginas to bring to you guys.
You know, that is too bad you didn't bring your vaginas.
Maybe here. I can, you know, somehow send you some.
That would be amazing.
You know? Wow.
Would be okay. So I mean, excited.
I'll give you our address.
Yeah. No, I will do it. I will
send
do it.
Send it to Kieran Lee's house. Ben will be there.
And where do people get that? On your website?
If you go to fleshlight.com, they're sold on there. You can also buy it through my website, which, am I allowed to plug it?
Absolutely.
Of course.
Which 100%. Is nikkibenz.com. Yep.
That's a good name for the website. You said you were just up in Montreal working.
I was, yeah. I was feature dancing. Mm-hmm.
Can we say the club that you were feature dancing at?
Yes. It was called Pink Paradise. It was actually in Laval, which is about a 40-minute drive out of Montreal.
Oh, we know
that. You're by the airport, right?
Oh, you're familiar?
Isn't Laval by the airport?
No. But you're familiar with it.
Yeah. Well, I'm familiar with the city, but I'm not familiar with Pink Paradise.
No?
No.
Okay.
No, because everyone always names there is Chez Paris.
Or Super Sex or Wanda's or whatever. So there's a few.
Uh-huh.
So
which solid gold. Which one's your favorite?
Well, I like Super Sex and Chez Paris are like the old school classics. So okay. I like those ones.
All right.
So maybe you'll go back and then we can show up. And we can share vaginas.
Yeah, I heard that Montreal strip clubs are really dirty.
I've heard that too.
Like
I wouldn't
like
know.
Dirty as in like not clean.
No, my
yes,
guy, my
yes, like as in not clean.
Or like dirty things go on.
Well, when I feature dance, I haven't seen anything dirty go on. But mind you, it's not really in Montreal. But in Montreal, I've been told that you can get a lot for $50, $20.
Oh. I think that's a fair assessment. I
Très
also.
Bien.
Très bien, ouais. Yeah.
We know who's going to go to Montreal really
yeah,
soon.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been there a few times.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But at the same time, the one thing I don't understand down here, Nikki, is the concept of that you can't drink in strip clubs if the girls
I
get
know.
Fully naked.
The
what
laws,
is with that bullshit?
The laws in the U.S. suck. And I feature dance throughout the U.S., so I travel coast to coast. And every state has different laws. Some are grandfathered in, so there is, you know, liquor and nudity, and most clubs don't. But yeah, I don't agree with it. Like in Toronto, when I was a house dancer, same thing. You can see titties and pussy and drink a beer.
Yeah, what's wrong?
That's
with
a good
that?
Time.
What's
where,
wrong?
Where
with that?
Were you a dancer
yeah,
in Toronto?
Great question. Grass rail.
Yes.
Yes.
Before I got into porn, that was the last place I was at. Yeah.
Wow, that's his favorite place on
that's
earth.
My favorite. That's where I'll die.
No, honestly, is it? Do you,
yeah, it is my
maybe,
favorite place.
Maybe
on earth.
You like been there when I was there.
Maybe. You know? Maybe we.
Maybe
we
I even gave you
other.
A lap dance and I just don't remember.
I would have remembered that. I would have remembered that. And then I would have seen you with Kieran Lee and Ben hanging out and I've been like, I remember that girl. She gave me a lap dance.
I'm going to have to get a photo signed by Kieran Lee for
oh
you,
my God.
Ben.
Think how excited Ben would be. It'd be right on his desk.
Nice.
Frame it, right?
Do you just lick your lips when you say
yes.
That?
This is so uncomfortable.
It's really fun making Ben uncomfortable. So what's next for you? What's
next?
Coming up next?
I'm actually going to Pittsburgh tomorrow to feature dance at Blush. I travel a lot, like almost every week.
You
and
can
then,
go to the Andy Warhol Museum while you're there. Isn't there one?
Yeah, there is one.
Is there?
Yeah. So hit that up.
Okay.
Send us pictures.
Get a Primanti
maybe.
Brothers sandwich. Maybe.
I go there every time I'm in Pittsburgh.
There you go.
Yeah, I love it. It's go. One of my favorites. What else? What am I doing? I'm going to Costa Rica right after. So I'm going to be a dealer for online gambling because that's not allowed in the U.S. So I'm
right.
going to go there and work at PornhubCasino.com for 2 days. I know nothing about gambling, so I feel sorry for her.
Pornhub
let's,
Casino?
Let's back uh-huh. up a bit here, Nikki. Pornhub Casino. Why have I never heard of this before?
You know, up until last month, I didn't either.
Okay.
So you're
it's
just going to be
new.
They're going to shoot you being a dealer?
Yeah, and I'm going to, you can, so I guess it's like an online casino, so you can, you know, log in and see me topless dealing your cards or whatnot.
That sounds incredible.
That's a great gig to go. How it long is. Will that shoot take?
That's a 2-day gig in and out. So I wish I could stay a little bit longer in Costa Rica and do stuff, but I'm in and out.
You're too busy.
In and out.
Are you?
And I wasn't talking about the hamburger place.
Can we get Pornhub Casino to be our sponsor?
Yeah, that would be a great sponsor.
That would be a great
I mean, you can, I'm not sure. You know what? You can just log on and figure it out. It might be like free. I don't know.
Just log on to your
log on, figure
on
it out.
Your Fox
That's
computer.
Your homework.
Log on right here.
Right
work.
Now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ben, can we get on to PornhubCasino.com here?
Am I going
to
try this?
Yeah, why not?
And since a lot of our listeners are from Canada, do you have any upcoming feature dancing in Canada?
No, not at
work.
No. We need to get a hold of the Brass Rail, and you need to do like a victory lap there.
The thing is, they don't—they don't do features. They don't need it. You know, when I feature dance in Toronto, where was I? It wasn't even in Toronto. It was outside of Toronto. I forget the name of the club. But I will say this, though. I love dancing in Toronto because the turnout is, like, crazy.
You're the hometown girl.
Right.
Everyone,
I'm, like,
so...
the hometown slut. So, of course, everybody comes
I didn't want to say it that way.
Look, I am a professional slut. Okay. I'm a slut on camera, though. Let's make that clear.
Off camera, you're very demure?
I'm very vanilla.
Oh, yeah?
Vanilla bean, yeah.
That's you're not. You're not convincing me.
I'm
at
a good
all.
Girl off camera. In fact, my civilian friends, kind of like you guys, do freaky shit at home that
Wait,
I would never
did you,
do.
Are we your friends?
Yeah,
you
we're
call
pals.
Friends?
We're now friends officially.
Yeah, Canadian
I mean, we've talked about my vagina and all that stuff. I feel like we're really close now.
I agree.
My first ever female friend.
But honestly, my civilian friends they do stuff that I wouldn't do. And they act more like porn stars than I do, to be honest.
Are you, you're not done with porn though? Like, are you still doing adult?
I'm doing adult. I'm about to announce something big with Brazzers. You might be familiar with that. I know you are.
I know Ben is. Big time. I've never heard of it.
Huge fan.
Yeah. I shoot a lot for Brazzers. They're actually a Canadian company. And
what? I didn't know that.
Canada kind of has taken over the U.S. porn market.
Wow.
Most of them are in Montreal, aren't they?
They're out of Montreal.
The companies that are on there?
Yeah. They have an office in L.A., of course, as well. We shoot in Vegas for Brazzers as well. But so we have a big announcement coming. I just can't talk about it just yet because I'm not allowed to.
So maybe just log on to Brazzers every day and you'll see the announcement.
Or you could call in, Nikki. Like, you could be a correspondent, and if you have big news, you could just call in and we could reveal it here on the podcast.
I mean, I could. I don't see why not.
Why not? That makes perfect sense. Or you could do it while you're on Pornhub Casino.
I could do that, yeah.
And after this visit, they'll re-energize Cubed, your Fox show. And then we'll have it back on the air.
We could use the programming.
We need programming.
We could use the programming, for sure.
I did the open for that, by the way.
You did?
Really?
For Cubed, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. All the sound effects I did. Yeah.
No way.
Yeah. You did?
Yeah.
Oh. Nice.
Did you do the did you voice it over, too?
No, they were all, like, office sound effects and stuff like that. I made, like, this little song out of, like, you know, typewriters and fax machines and
Jim's
stuff like this.
I have to say, though, that when I started working for Cubed, I mean, I'm Canadian. I know nothing about football. Mm-hmm. And it was so hard for me to memorize the lines because nothing made sense. I was like, what?
You mentioned hockey. Are you still into hockey?
You know, I am. But now my only updates that I get is through Twitter. Mm-hmm. I don't watch TV. I don't have time. So I get all my Twitter feeds with updates. I hear the Raptors are doing really well, though.
They won yesterday. I think it was a big comeback.
And when you're in Pittsburgh, maybe the Penguins are on to the second round. Maybe you can catch a game.
Sydney against
Sidney Crosby.
I could. Well, I don't know if I can do that. I have to work.
Yeah, she's got a feature.
I'm not there on vacation.
You need to have time for yourself, too.
Do you have an assistant who joins you on the road and, like, carries your 8x10s and things like that?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
I was going to see if you didn't have one.
We will fly you out and get you some Permane's Brothers. Oh, see, I have two volunteers.
I'd be security.
Okay, perfect. Anybody
else? You should have security.
I'll come along.
You don't want Ben there. Probably not.
I wouldn't work.
I believe that. I do.
You mentioned you're so busy, we should let you hit the road because we know LA traffic and such.
Yes.
So, but we can't thank you enough for coming in.
Yeah, one more time. Give us any website.
Website.
Any other
information. Okay. So, what am I trying to tell you? My Twitter is @NikkiBenz. My Instagram @NikkiBenz. My Facebook is facebook.com/BenzMafia. And I'm really big on Snapchat. I don't know if you are. I love Snapchat.
He's on the Snappers.
I'm on it now.
Okay. My Snapchat name is Ben's Mafia.
Ben's Mafia. Yeah. Are we in the Ben's Mafia now?
Yeah.
We should clarify the spelling of your name because everything's just Nikki Benz. It's NikkiBenz.
Yeah, double K. Oh, Zed.
Did you notice he said Zed?
Oh, it's Z. Oh. Right, sorry.
So really quick, when I first moved to the States and they asked me to spell my name and I would say Zed and no one knew what the hell I was talking about. They were like, say what?
They thought you were saying Zen or something.
Something,
like
yeah. Funny. Yeah.
Well, Nikki, this was awesome, man.
Thanks for having me.
Super cool. We'll get together sometime. We'll all hang out.
You definitely have the best picture up there.
There's no question. There's no question.
I'm glad I put the star over it.
Stop it. Tom can't even look. Like, he's like, oh,
he's like, look at Marty Short. He's like, I want to look, but I can't. Even Neil, like they're all kind of. Leslie Nielsen's coming out of
his
grave.
He's scared.
There.
Yeah, he's scared. Yeah. Great wall. Great wall.
Yeah.
Love it.
Well, it's even better now. Thanks.
It
to
is.
You.
Well,
Nikki Benz, everybody.
Nikki
My erections
Benz.
Have returned.
Thank you, guys.
You're listening to the Jay and Dan podcast.
Wow, what a podcast we've had. Right. Okay, so. If we stumbled a bit with the interview last week, I mean, we're already back on track. And we've got another guest coming
How
up.
Long of that John Jones interview did we air? Hopefully just a minute.
The whole thing.
I think on live, on the show, we only did five.
Yeah.
We did a little bit longer here.
It felt like a three-hour interview.
Yeah.
That's.
I'm very happy that Nikki Benz is on my wall. If you thought when you put on the black light in this room... Yeah. It looks like a Jackson Pollock painting.
Yeah,
just
now.
Wait.
Just wait
will you,
now.
Will you get? Will the union be mad though that this is up on the Canadian wall?
There could be some HR issues with that.
No, oh, but really? She covered up her nipple with a cute
she
little
did.
Star.
It's pretty.
Yeah,
maybe you have to draw a shirt on her.
I'm just happy it's in my room.
There you go.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if literally the next time we came in here, this Nikki Benz 8x10 was literally covered in semen, all Jim's semen, just like a coat, almost like a half inch coat of semen. So like Jim is kind of like joking now, but in the end he was like, no, I wasn't joking. Like I literally am going to rub one out to this picture every single day I'm in here.
It'll be like a glazed donut stuck on the wall.
All right.
Let's give Pang a phone call.
Dan just completely ignoring that. Okay, Tiffany Campagnolo.
Maybe we should cut that out.
No way.
Tiffany says. Have we got Pang on the phone?
Okay. Oh, we're calling. Tiffany says, I drive my poor husband crazy by talking about the show every night and how great it is. But he was not complaining when I showed him the Ruffles commercial with the Boo Saver. We both loved it. Thanks, Dan. The Boosevere.
What show is she talking about?
Boosevere? What's the Boosevere?
I have no idea what's going on.
The Ruffles commercial with the Boosevere. We're very confused. One question. Here it is. You mentioned Dan being at the gym with Donovan McNabb. When were you at the gym with McNabb? Oh, I remember
I ran
that.
Into him.
Yeah. No offense, but I have to ask if Dan can keep up with him in the gym. Are they working on the squat rack together? Or is Dan watching Donovan from afar on the recumbent bicycle?
No, here's the
Love
thing.
Love from Ottawa.
Donovan's
Tiffany.
Watching everyone. He's not working out.
Yeah. Have you seen Donovan?
Donovan was just, he was glad-handed.
Yeah.
I was working a sweat on.
I'll bet you were.
I
was working a sweat on. Speaking of which, Dan, guess what I did this morning? 75 minutes of yoga with two old dudes.
Oh, yoga's not fun.
It was tough.
Yeah, it's dumb.
I was struggling. My wife signed me up for it, and she was like, you got to do it. It was very difficult. Here's Steve Charmney. Do we have Panger yet?
Working on it.
Here we go. We'll read one more. I've just finished reading number two. It was great. Some of the stories brought back memories for me, such as dealing with a pissed off parent or small town police. Anyway, if there's a third book in the works, and if you're ever close to Yorkton, Saskatchewan in the summer months, I'd like to treat you to a ball game here. We have a summer collegiate team. The Yorkton Cardinals, which Andrelton Simmons played on in 2009. Hmm. And I'll buy you a few brews. There you go. Thanks, Steve. That's nice of you. Don't know if we're getting out to Yorkton anytime soon.
The Yorkton Terriers, correct? Of the SJHL.
Of the Saskatchewan Junior Hockey League. Good bunch.
We're going through Darren's assistant.
Okay, here, very quickly, I'll stop this one if I have to. Eric Barish, one more time. Hi, buds. Just the email goes like this. Girlfriend enjoys the pod, and you guys can't stand sports analysis shows. However, with the new format feeling like a late-night show, it's something we're able to watch together. And I wanted to thank you for that. P.S., since your Fox hiring was announced, being a hockey fan in the U.S., I knew you'd bring on TSN, you being on TSN, but had only seen YouTube clips. Soon after the FS1 launch, I picked up on the pod and haven't missed one since. I even spent the past few months going back to the TSN pod and listening in order. I highly recommend all of the hardcore pod fans go back and listen to the old episodes when you're on break. It's always a treat to hear the old stories. Anyway, long f***ing email. Hope you took the time to read it. Have a good one. So, Eric Berge, or maybe Berger, I apologize.
So we're bringing him and his wife or girlfriend closer together?
They're probably doing it after watching us every night.
That's great. So Fox Sports Live, bringing relationships together.
This is the first time I've gotten through all the letters.
I like it. The fans are probably really happy.
I really felt bad because in the past when Mike used to do it, he would give me so many emails we never get to
and
them
he would only include emails about him.
Yeah.
No one's writing about me.
People are very upset, though, still about Mike being let go.
Yeah, he sent us an email last week, really long. He thought we'd probably read it on the podcast. It was extremely long and very self-involved, so we are not doing that.
I had an idea, though. What if we sent Mike to Canada and had him do like a little sizzle reel video, and he could just go around the country and ask people what they thought about the podcast? And
well, we'd have to pay for it because he's unemployed.
No, well, Fox would probably pay. There's a podcast
budget. He got laid off.
No, but we would pay on Fox's behalf.
I don't know about that. Once you're gone from here. Except for Nikki Benz, who's going to be coming back.
Except for everyone who's ever worked here and left and come back, you mean?
Yes.
Literally?
Oh, I think we got Panger now?
Okay. All right, here comes Darren.
So, as we said, the St. Louis Blues onto the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. They got rid of the Chicago Blackhawks, and a man that was there to witness it the entire way, as I sound like I'm a robot right now, was Darren Pang. Darren, welcome back to the podcast. We haven't talked to you in a long time.
How are you, buddy?
You know, I miss sneaking in that little back room in that hallway that I couldn't find at the very beginning and seeing you two guys. I had so much fun over there. Man, oh, man. Anytime you want me back, I'll come. I'll be in your basement or something like that. Maybe sleep on a couch or a Chesterfield somewhere in your houses, you know?
We're fine with that.
Yeah, well, Dan has a couch for you, and it would be pretty exciting because it would be kind of like a couple of wild guys out on the town every night hitting the clubs.
Jay, I'm not very tall, you know. I'm not like you. I mean, Dan and I could both fit on one. We could both fit in the top drawer of the drawers.
Of the dresser,
that.
Yeah.
We can hardly get on the rides at Disney.
How tall do you have to be now?
hey, Panger, how is St. Louis right now?
Man.
Blues fans must be just going nuts. Watch that game 7, and that crowd was loud.
There's a lot of free beers were thrown around after that one. I mean, you guys know this city, and it's a real great sports city, but the people have been so dedicated to the game of hockey for so long, and they've had to endure so many bad moments, you know, great regular seasons and disappointing, you know, game sevens or sweeps. And I think looking around the crowd, and I've only been here for 7 years, but looking around the crowd and just seeing the emotion and the reaction was unbelievable. The next day was the same thing. Today was sort of a hangover day. I think people were a little bit out of gas, but I mean, the entire series, you could have thrown that as the Stanley Cup final. No one would have complained
about
that.
You could have, indeed.
100%.
And it's so great that, no offense to Hawks fans, but it's great for the Blues organization, great for the NHL, because there's new blood now.
Well, I would agree with you on that. And you know, if it was the same thing, you know, the Blues lose, the Blackhawks go on, the Blackhawks are going to have another ride at this. I mean, they are champs for a reason. They would not go away. But the fact is, I think there has to be time in sport for a little bit of a turnover to give other fans hope. And, you know, the Blues fans have paid the price since 1967. And they've, you know, they're now all of a sudden you go through the sales offices or you see people on the streets or you see people that have long supported them, a season ticket fan. Well, now they've got some hope and there's some spirit instead of, oh, my goodness, are they going to lose Game 7 instead of, you know, like Hawks fans would be saying, we're going to win Game 7 because that's what they've done. And it was really nice to see the Blues players that have gone through the goods and the bads to be able to, you know, to go through the handshake line. And I'll say this again about Chicago. And Joel Quenneville, fellas, he went through that line and he patted those players on the back and he said to them, go get yourself a cup. He has a lot of strong ties here in St. Louis. He goes to the same bars. There's a place called O.B. Clark's in Brentwood. Joel Quenneville makes sure he goes there every time he's here. He's such a well-respected, well-liked guy here, but he went up and down that line, and he was nothing but a gentleman and a champion.
I love hearing that.
You mentioned Panger that you've been there for 7 years now. I can't believe you've been there that long. Is there any one acquisition, one moment, a move that's been made by Doug Armstrong in your mind that sort of turned the corner for this franchise and allowed him to win a series like this?
It's a great question. I think there's a couple, but I'll go number one, and it's given Doug credit, but it's also given his scouting staff credit. When they sat in there in the 2010 draft, and they traded the 16th overall pick, or they traded for the 16th overall pick, They traded David Rundblad that actually played Game 7. He was the Blues' first-round pick the year before. They traded this right-handed Swedish defenseman to the Senators for the 16th overall pick, and they got Vladdy Tarasenko. So I think you can take a lot of trades, a lot of paper transactions, but that draft brought them Jaden Schwartz with the 14th pick and Vladdy Tarasenko with the 16th pick. And, I mean, if he's not the biggest difference maker in the league, you know, I know we've got a handful of them, but he's right there at the very top. That would be number one, and I think number two would be a very unpopular trade at the time was T.J. Oshie going to Washington. Everybody loves Oshie. He's one of the best people in the world. But they traded him for a guy that they thought could get him over the hump, and Troy Brouwer had a hard time scoring that game-winning goal.
He was even laughing himself.
He honestly did look like a, what was it that David Faraday used to say, an octopus trying to put up an umbrella, something like that. That's what he looked like anyway. It was like hands, feet kicking, and it finally goes in the net.
Yeah. And Panger, you got to mention Brian Elliott. I remember Brian Elliott when he was with the Ottawa Senators. After he left there, Rick Walmsley, who was their goaltending coach, said he simply forgot how to stop the puck. And then fast forward to now, he's backstopping and standing on his head for the Blues. What happened in between his time in Ottawa and all the way to now when he's with the Blues?
It's like you guys in TV. You had perseverance. You know what I mean?
we have to. Yeah.
We all stick with something, and he is stuck with it, and he's the ultimate pro. He said to me after Game 7, I did a sit-down with him on Fox Sports Midwest, and you couldn't have been able to tell if it was Game 3 of the regular season or winning Game 7. Honest to goodness, he was so even-keeled and so nonchalant about it. But before we started, I said, I got a text from Curtis Joseph today. And he said, yeah. And I go, he's really been supporting you. And he goes, he sends me texts all the time. He says, I think he single-handedly got me through these 7 games.
Wow.
How good is that?
That's so cool.
You know, and it was in January that the Blues had goalie heritage night, and they invited Mike Liut and Grant Fuhr and Curtis Joseph. And Curtis has always been Brian Elliott's hero growing up from the same town, the same school, Wisconsin. And they agreed that he would wear a replica 1990s Curtis Joseph mask, one of his first ones ever, with the music note on the bottom and trumpets and all that. And at the end, they said, we're gonna put this up for auction. We'll raise some money for the local kids back home for minor hockey. We'll see what we can get. After he played that game, he made 46 saves and got a shutout. That night, Curtis told him, you should keep the mask on.
I love that.
So there's kind of been a neat, you know, kind of a sub story here going on, and it's really kind of the Superman cape that he put on when he played that night on that Heritage night with Cujo in attendance, and they kept in touch the whole time.
Too bad he didn't go back to the Mike Liut mask. He had some gems.
Just the plain white.
Yeah.
with the longest throat. Yeah, that was one of the best.
That was one of the cool. Remember, he had that one incredible season, and I remember that.
Wasn't he up? He should have won the Hart Trophy that year.
He should have.
And Ken and Gretzky won it, I think.
Yeah, some Gretz. My favorite line you've ever said, Gretz told me never to name drop.
Mike Liut is now a player agent, right?
Yes, he is. He represents Vladdy Tarasenko.
Wow.
Of all people.
Worked out pretty well for him.
And before we let you go, Panger, I can't help but mention a guy we've mentioned on the podcast before, and the Game 7 he had, the pride of Fort McMurray, Alberta, Scotty Upshaw.
I love that you're from Fort McMurray. I've gotten to know Scotty pretty well. We go on the road, we play some golf, and I give him a lot of credit. He was awesome in Game 7, and he hurt himself a little bit and still kept on playing, never complained. And he looked at Kirk Muller at one point during the game, and I guess he said to him, would you guys put me out on the ice?
I love that. Hey, Panger, really quickly, if the Blues happen to be eliminated, will you go work for Sportsnet in Canada at that point?
You know, I was actually supposed to do that, and first time I've really talked about it, and I know you want it quickly. I was supposed to do that. It's part of my deal there. I've got another year left in my contract. Because there's no Canadian teams, they've cut back their studio, and they're only keeping one group there. So I get, no, it's neat. I get pay and don't have to go play.
God, that's
how do you like that?
That sounds great. That sounds like our old employee here, Mike Botticello. He's one of the guys on the podcast. Yeah. Very similar to that.
So if you want me to go up to L.A., man, I'm hopping on the bird in the next round for you.
I love that idea.
Panger, we've missed you, buddy. Yeah. And let's keep in touch during the second round.
That sounds awesome. Anytime, guys.
Thanks, okay. Panger.
That's Darren Pang. He works on the St. Louis Blues broadcast. People are going to point it out. Sounds a lot like Guy Boutillier, who we always bring back in my hockey play-by-play days.
He's Guy Boutillier, but it's a smidge more.
Yeah, exactly. And it should be noted, I mentioned Scotty Upshaw, and I said this to you the other day. The Fort McMurray Oil Barons jerseys were modeled after the St. Louis Blues. And now he's playing with the Blues, so it came full circle for Scott. And now we're out of time.
Hey, guys, this is a blast. Jim, thank you so much. Can't thank you enough. I wish we could have hooked up at Coachella.
I know. I really do, too. I really do.
And maybe amazing, next year. Next
an amazing year. Prince story.
Yeah, that was great.
Our guest was great.
Maybe
Nikki.
Dodger Nick. Stadium, we can figure something
out. Yeah, that's a must. Yeah, Nikki Benz, amazing. Well, that's the last time we'll see that picture. Not covered in Jim's DNA.
And Calgary, Jay and I are in Calgary on Thursday, the day this podcast comes out, the date being, the hell's that date?
28th.
The 28th. Yep. So
just for the night, going to speak at the UFC, well, for the UFC.
And then we're hitting up Cowboys.
Yeah, we're going to Cowboys. UFC Dinos alumni, the football alumni. That's where
I was working on my speech today. Got all some right. real gems.
Some zingers.
Some reels. You already know all my jokes.
Oh, perfect. Can't wait for the one about the can clearly see your nuts.
Excuse me?
I'll tell one of them. So this is one I always... It's a good... When there's a lull, you just throw a joke in.
So in other words, the whole speech.
The guy walks into the doctor's office and he's got Saran wrap on for pants. The doctor looks him up and down and says, "Sir, I can clearly see your nuts."
I like
see,
that.
It's easy to remember. You get a little laugh.
I wish I was going with you guys.
It actually usually does surprisingly well, that joke.
It does, because people think about it for a second, and it's kind of naughty, so they're like, woo-hoo-hee.
And then there's erections all over the building.
My erections have returned. We have our 4:30 meeting to get to.
Oh, yeah. Okay, thanks, everybody.
So long,
talk to you next week, and we'll have lots of tales from Calgary.
Sorry. I wish I was going with you guys. I'm telling you, I'd love to be up there.
Yeah, we will be doing it. Don't worry. When Jay's child is 10, we're all going up. She's not even one yet.